1 Peter chapter 1 in the Bible. I really appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. And I don't take it for granted, such a blessing to preach to the most wonderful church family in the whole wide world. Y'all are the best. And you're easy to preach to. You're very forgiving. And I really appreciate that. My grandmother went home to be the Lord in November. And my mom and dad have been cleaning some things and cleaning around the house. And when they came here a few weeks ago, they said, "Tom, look what we found." It was an audio recording of my first ever recorded sermon. 2007, 18 years old. That was the most painful thing I ever listened to. I never heard it before. I went back and listened to it. Hopefully this is better than when I was 18, okay? If it's not, don't tell me, okay? But I'm thankful for the opportunity Pastor's given me. And I thank God for what He's doing here. Aren't you thankful? Whew, praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 3. The Bible says in verse 3 of 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's giving the Lord praise. How many of you give God praise tonight? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." If you like to highlight or underline portions of Scripture, I have three words highlighted in verse number 3 towards the middle end of verse 3. It's three words, a lively hope. I'd like to preach a message simply entitled tonight, "In Christ Alone, My Hope is Found." In Christ alone, my hope is found. A lively hope. Let's pray together. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank You for the Bible. Lord, I thank You tonight that we don't serve a dead Savior. And we don't have a dead faith. Lord, we have a lively hope tonight. Thank You for the song we just heard about the love of Christ and what You did for us on the cross. We're humbled and we praise You for that. Pray for all the things going on tonight on this property, beyond this room. But I pray, God, that You would bless Your word and use me tonight as my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. A older man stopped to watch a Little League baseball game one day, and he stumbled across a field of boys playing a Little League baseball game, and he asked one of the boys, he said, "Son, what is the score?" And the little boy looked back on him and said, "Sir, it's 18 to nothing, and we're losing, 18 to nothing." And the man said, "Little son, you don't sound very hopeless, or you don't sound very discouraged about that." And the boy said, I don't feel hopeless or discouraged. We haven't even had a chance to come to bat yet. It's still the top of the first inning." It was all in his perspective. Amen. And have you ever had a day where you feel hopeless? A day that you feel discouraged? You feel like there's no way out? You are in the pit of discouragement, in the depths of despair, and you may say in your heart on a regular basis, "There is no hope." Well, in the book of 1 Peter, in our text tonight, the author of this wonderful book of God's Word is the Apostle Peter. And Peter is writing to a mixture of both saved Jewish and Gentile believers who are scattered throughout the provinces of Asia Minor. Look at the map on your screen. In verse 1 of the Bible says in verse 1, "To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." It's very important to note, people in this room tonight, church family, that Peter is not writing to lost people. He is writing to Christians. He's writing to believers. The people that Peter is writing to have lived under the oppressive reign of Roman government. The Roman Emperor Nero, he was a wicked man. He was a wicked man. Nero was a wicked man. He was a vile ruler. Nero would arrest and torture Christians in Rome before executing them publicly. Nero would crucify some Christians. He would throw them to wild animals, some of them, or he would burn them as living torches. So from the earliest days of this church, the early church, persecution was part of everyday life. This is just a brief note, a brief thought here. But 1 Peter, it teaches us that it's very possible to live righteously while pagan rulers are in government. Nero threw Christians to wild animals. The truth is, we really do not have it that bad for now. Though we today in America do not suffer as these early Christians, there are many brethren around the world who are paying a deep price for being a Christian. These believers in 1 Peter, they lived in a time when being a Christian, it cost them something. And for some, it cost them their very life. And the Apostle Peter, he knew exactly who he was talking to. He was talking to men and women who were submerged in a sea of suffering. They were submerged in a sea of discouragement, and their only hope, their only source of joy, was Jesus Christ. And the truth is, child of God, in this world, we can and we should expect suffering. And much of 1 Peter deals with our response to suffering. But for the core of tonight's message, Peter will challenge us and instruct us through the inspired pages of God's Word, is that if you are in Christ, raise your hand if you are in Christ. Would you please? If you're in Christ, we have hope in challenging days. Hope in the middle of suffering. If you have Jesus, you have hope in a world that's not our home. I know that you know this, but this world, Christian, it is not our home. We are just a passing through. All God's people said, amen. Our hope is in Christ, and it's in Christ alone. And Christian, we do not have to be hopeless tonight. We can be hope-filled. Not a dead hope, a lively hope. In Christ alone, our hope is found. If you're taking notes tonight, number one, I'd like you to see, number one, Jesus is our salvation. Number one, Jesus is our salvation. I want you to look back with me at verse number 3 and 4. Let's read it again. Number one, Jesus is our salvation. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His, what's the next two words, church? His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Jesus is our salvation. Calvary Baptist Church, aren't you thankful for the abundant mercy of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful it's not just a little mercy? Aren't you thankful the Bible says here it is abundant mercy? The phrase in verse 3, the Bible says, hath begotten us again, is a direct reference to us as Christians being born again. I want to ask you, do you remember the day that you were born again? How many of you remember the day that you were born again? I was 11 years old, but I knew that religion could not take me to heaven. I discovered at 11 years old that going to church all the time could not take me to heaven. I discovered at 11 years old that my baptism could not take me to heaven. It was only through Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not in your church attendance. It's not in your religion. It's not in your baptism. It's not in your good works. It is only through Jesus Christ. And if you've been born again, you too have this lively hope. Jesus is our salvation. I want you to see, first of all, under this letter A, Jesus has given us in His salvation, letter a lively hope. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Letter A lively hope. Look at the end of verse 3. He hath begotten us again unto a, what's the next two words, church family? A what? A lively hope. If you know Jesus, you have been born again unto a what? Unto a lively hope. This lively hope is made possible. Look at the end of verse 3. By the, what's the word, church family? Help me out. By the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Therefore, our hope and our salvation is built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the linchpin. It is the keystone of all Christian doctrine. Calvary family, just a reminder, without the resurrection of Christ, we are dead in our sins and our faith is worthless. Without the resurrection of Christ, we have no hope at all. This is what sets Christianity apart from everything else. We serve a risen Savior tonight. And if you don't get anything else I say, I want you to remember this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something to be celebrated one time a year on Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something to be celebrated and lived by every single day. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. We don't serve a dead Savior tonight and we don't have a dead faith. We have a lively hope. And because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Jesus Christ is not dead tonight. Therefore, don't live tomorrow like Jesus is dead. You have a lively hope. You see, church family, hope is not the absence of sorrow. It is the presence of Jesus Christ. Hope is not the absence of sorrow. Hope is the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question and shout back at me. Is it wrong to sorrow? It's not wrong. As Christians, doesn't mean that we won't sorrow again. See, the people here in 1 Peter, the people that Peter is writing to, they were going through severe suffering. Many of them lost their life. Many of them were about to. We are not free from sorrow or suffering right now. Our sorrow, however, is different because of who our hope is in. Jesus is our lively hope. I heard a preacher say one time at a funeral that Christians are the only people in the world that can be sorrowful and joyful all at the same time. We sorrow, yes, but we don't sorrow the same as others which have no hope. Here is the important distinction for a Christian. When a loved one dies and goes to heaven, yes, there is indeed sorrow. However, because of the blessed hope of eternal life, we need not sorrow as others which have no hope. I love what John 11:25-26 said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How many of you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You will never die. You will never die. Jesus is our lively hope. And there's too many Christians. I want you to lock in on this. There are too many Christians who are walking around every day acting like they have no hope. Did you hear what I said? There are so many Christians that walk around every day acting like they have no hope. Too many Christians are mimicking the pessimistic hopelessness of our culture. Let me say that again. There are too many Christians who are mimicking the pessimistic hopelessness of our culture. And if we're not careful, Christians can become some of the most miserable people in the world when, quite frankly, it should be quite the opposite. Too many Christians are walking around as though Jesus is dead. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Therefore, let's live like He's alive. Everything's not falling apart, Christian. Everything is coming together. We are on the winning side. Christians do not go through trials and valleys the same way the lost world does. You see, the world around us is hopeless without Jesus Christ. But for those of us that know Christ, we have what? A lively hope. A living hope. And Christ alone our hope is found. Jesus is our salvation, and He gives us a lively hope, but letter B, He gives us lasting riches. He's our salvation, so He gives us a lively hope, but He also gives us lasting riches. I want you to look with me at verse number 4 now. Let's read verse 4 again. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. My grandfather, he went home to be with the Lord in 2007. I called him Pop-Pop. Got any other Pop-Pops out there? Okay. 2007, he went home to be with the Lord. But one of the coolest and funnest things we got to ever do with Pop-Pop was he would have one of those Folgers tin cans. How many of you remember the Folgers tin cans? They make them plastic now. Those are boring, okay? But they had those Folgers tin cans. The only reason I knew, because I went to the store to look for one to use it as an illustration, I could find no Folgers tin cans. They were all plastic, okay? So he would have this Folgers tin can, and he would fill it up with coins all year round. And for our birthday, he would say, for all of his grandkids, he said, you put your hand inside this big Folgers jar, and you get one scoop with one hand. And whatever money you pull out of there, it's all yours. Man, I'm telling you, I couldn't wait till my birthday. November 19th, I'd go over to Pop-Up and Grandmom's house, and we'd sing happy birthday and the candles and all that boring stuff, and got to the tin can, okay? The Folgers tin can. All right, Pop-Up. And Pop-Up would coach me. He's like, all right, put your hand all the way down the side so you get a real, get all the way at the bottom. It'd be hard to get all the way down there. Get at the bottom. And he said, use your stomach and pull all the way up. And so I pulled all that money out, and it would fall all over the table. And then we'd take it to the grocery store and put it in one of those coin counting things. You know what I'm talking about? At the store where people put the coins and makes that annoying sound for like 3 or 4 minutes. Okay. And we would do that. And man, $20, $25. I thought I was the richest person in the whole wide world. But it was not for me to share. Amen. Not my brothers. My brothers were not getting it. It was all mine. It was my inheritance, so to speak. Why? Because my Pop-Up gave it to me. I did not earn it. He provided it for me. And so for the Christian tonight, what is our inheritance? And the answer tonight is found in one word. Our inheritance is found in one word. It's Jesus. Jesus is our salvation Jesus is our salvation, and because of what Jesus gives, He gives us lasting riches. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Lasting riches, eternal riches in Jesus Christ. In this verse 4, Peter uses four words or four phrases to describe these lasting riches. Can we walk through them together? Let's walk through them. First, these riches are, first of all, incorruptible. There's your first word, incorruptible. Our inheritance is not subject to death or decay. It is everlasting. Hey, Christian, the riches that Christ provides are not temporary. They are eternal. Aren't you glad that God's bank account, it will never run dry? Amen? Look at the second word in verse 4. It's incorruptible, but also number 2, it's undefiled. Our inheritance in Christ is free from all contamination. Do you ever go to a restaurant and they bring your food to you? It's got a hair in there. You feel good about eating that? It's contaminated. Send it back, all right? I love what John Phillips says here. The devil fiercely assailed Jesus, but He remained completely uncontaminated. He could touch an unclean leper and remain undefiled. He could touch a corpse and remain undefiled. leprosy and death fled at the touch of Jesus. Our inheritance is undefiled. It is free from contamination. Here's a third phrase in verse number 4. It's incorruptible. Our riches are undefiled. But I like this third one too. It fadeth not away. See, this inheritance, unlike earthly ones, which tend to vanish, is solid and it's substantial. Do you ever have a favorite shirt that you wore over and over and over? Or you did something accidentally to it and over time it began to fade and lose its original color? With Jesus and our salvation, His salvation, it will never fade away. Our riches and our inheritance is eternal. It is forever. But this final part of verse 4 of the inheritance, it's my personal favorite. Look at the end of verse number 4. Look at the last phrase. Reserved in heaven for you. Does it say for your friend? It says for, what's the word that the Bible uses? It's reserved for who? For you. The word reserved here in verse 4 means that it's guarded. It's watched over. It's kept. Child of God, our inheritance, our riches in Christ are both reserved and they are preserved. My inheritance is being kept in heaven for me. And if you know Jesus, yours is too. I can't wait to enjoy that inheritance for all of eternity. Man, no one can cook a meal like grandmother can. How many of you agree? And grandmom's with the Lord now, but you know what I'd love to hear at the end of one of those meals that grandma would make? She would say something like this: "Hey boys, make sure you keep your fork." What did that mean? Dessert, man. Hallelujah. Get the boring stuff away. Give us some dessert, okay? Something better was coming. Hey, Christian, we have lasting riches reserved for us in heaven. There is something better coming. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Child of God, our riches are in Christ, and they are in Christ alone. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be diminished in value. It cannot be polluted. It can never be wasted away. And it's reserved in heaven for me. Jesus is our salvation. And He has given us a lively hope. And He's giving us lasting riches. In Christ alone, my hope is found. And Peter's going to show us one more thing tonight in our text. Number one tonight, Jesus is our salvation. But number two tonight, Jesus is our security. Jesus is our security. I want you to look at verse number 5 with me. Verse number 5. Who are, what's the next word, church? Kept. I have that word circled in my Bible. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus is our security. When I was a little boy, my parents were hosting several dozen church members over at our house for some gathering one evening. I can't remember if it was a Sunday school outing or something like that, but we had dozens of people coming over to our house. And per usual, like most of us in this room, when company's coming over, what are you spending most of the day doing? You're cleaning and making sure everything was right and everything was good. But my mom mainly focused on our downstairs. Our bedrooms were upstairs and there's really no reason for anyone to go up there. And so I remember mom was finished cleaning and she came over to us boys and said, "Boys, do not go into the downstairs bathroom. I just finished cleaning it." So we didn't. We went upstairs to the upstairs bathroom. And so the guests came over and dozens of people were over. And all of a sudden, my mom started noticing people walking upstairs to the upstairs bathroom. And she became very concerned. And she finally stops the guest, one of the guests that was a close friend of hers, and she said, please don't go up to the upstairs bathroom. Please go into the bathroom downstairs here. And the lady replied, oh, Joanne, I tried, but your son Thomas is at the door saying, my mom just cleaned this bathroom. Please go to the upstairs bathroom. You can't use it. It just got cleaned. I was saying, hey, this bathroom, it's reserved. I'm guarding it. I'm protecting it. And verse 5, this word kept is a powerful word. It means to be guarded, to protect it, like a military guard. It's God's power that is therefore guarding our salvation. If there's one person I want guarding my salvation, it would be God. The great salvation with all of its blessing is ready to be revealed in the last time. Christian, can I remind you tonight? Everything may be crumbling around you, but Jesus is your security. Maybe you're experiencing suffering like the people here that Peter's talking to. Remember tonight, Jesus has you in His hand. John 10:28. I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you can rest easy tonight, knowing that you are in the grip of God. You are in God's hands. Therefore, you are in good hands. If you're in God's hands, you are in good hands. Jesus is our security. I remember sometime after I got saved, someone came to me and said, Tom, the devil's going to try to play tricks on you to try to think you're not saved. Because we still do sin, correct? We've not gotten to our glorified body yet. They said, Tom, I want to encourage you to choose an assurance verse so that when the devil comes and tries to doubt, make you doubt your salvation, tries to trick you, you can quote the scripture back. Can I share with you my personal assurance verse, my security verse? I've used it many, many times. When our daughters trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, this was the verse that we gave to them after they got saved. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I did that, and believeth on him that sent me, I did that, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And when Jesus says hath, when Jesus makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. He will keep his word every single time. And by the way, there is absolutely nothing that you can do to earn your salvation, and there is absolutely nothing that you can do to lose your salvation. It is in Christ and in Christ alone. You did nothing to earn Christ, and you can do nothing to lose Christ. Once you trust in Christ, you are eternally secure. It is in Christ. It is in Christ alone. It is Jesus, only Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I'm glad you're in church tonight. I'm glad you read your Bible and pray. I'm glad you witness. I'm glad you're part of a life group. I'm glad that you are involved in ministry. But absolutely none of these things keep you secure in Christ. None of this keeps you saved. It is Jesus. It is only Jesus. It is 100% the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are kept. You are kept. You are kept. You are kept. It's in Christ alone. Religion will tell you to do all these things. But Jesus, He says done. Religion says do, but Jesus Christ, He says done. Jesus is our security. You are kept. And Christian, can I ask you tonight, are you hopeless tonight? Discouraged? And you can keep your head high. Keep it high tonight, knowing that you are secure in Jesus Christ. You are kept. And Jesus Christ, He will never let go. He will never let go. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of men can ever pluck me from the Father's hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Last week, we told our kids that we're going to go to Carowinds this Friday, 2 days from now. And so they were excited and real fired up. I am too. I love roller coasters. Get me on a roller coaster right now, okay? I love it. And so a couple days went by, and we started looking at the weather. And we saw that the raindrops on Friday. And one of our kids said, "Mom and Dad, I can't wait to go to Carowinds on Friday." I looked back at them and said, I said this phrase, "Well, I hope so." Now, thankfully, the weather looks good for Friday now, okay? But at that moment, it didn't look very good. I said, "Well, I hope so." Would you say that I did not say it very confidently to our kids? But I'm telling you right now, in Jesus Christ, there is no question marks with Jesus. With Jesus, there's periods and there's exclamation points. No question marks. It is Jesus. It's only Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. By way of application tonight, Christian, where is your hope tonight? Where is your hope in? If your hope is in a political figure, that political figure will fail you every time. If your hope is in a job, or your social status, or your popularity, or how many likes your social media post gets, or even in a preacher, you're looking for hope in all the wrong places. It's in Christ, and Christ alone, our hope is found. A lively hope. And maybe tonight, you are like the Christians that Peter is speaking to. You're weary in your journey. You're facing a trial, adversity, discouragement, suffering, and you come in tonight hopeless. I realize fully that I look into the eyes of some that you come in here very, very weary tonight. You're hopeless. You're discouraged. And I remind you tonight that in Christ alone, our hope is found. Based on the Bible, you can have hope in your hurt. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you thankful we have a lively hope tonight? Jesus is our salvation, our lively hope, and lasting riches. And Jesus is our security. He's not dead tonight. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I'd like you to, for a few moments, to, in the quietness of the moment,